Psalm 32 is a confession by David, a response by God, framed by a couple of Proverbs. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart.
Time for our Roots kids, age 3 to 3rd grade, to be dismissed to their special worship time. And we also have a staffed nursery for kids younger than that age, if you'd like to make use of that. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Okay, some of y'all who are accustomed to seeing me come up here and talk about the cards are really excited. You think that we've just skipped over the sermon today. Okay, I have a little bad news. That's not it. I have a warning also. I'm going to do a lot of hesitation in telling you about what I'm not going to tell you before I get to the actual meat of it. We're supposed to have bad thunderstorms. So if there are lightning bolts and thunder, really, it's the weather. Don't blame me for that. Steve, thank you very much for reading. Really, the way Steve read it, I should just go and sit down. That was probably sermon enough. And James, I could see James a minute ago, but I can't see him now. Your prayer, oh, that's because he ran out with the kids. He said, you know, God working in our lives, and that's what this hymn, this psalm is about, what we're going to talk about. I worked for a long time, 15 or so years at Compaq, and when I was there, I was in a research and development group. We did new products, and when you get an idea for a product, you take it to someone either within the company or a little bit further outside to say, is this something that you're interested in? And when you're introducing something that's very different, we did something called an is not slide. So first you said, it's not this. And I'm going to tell you what this sermon is not. It's not, despite people crying to come back in, it is not, do we not think this one's on? Okay, no problem. It's not for kids. It's for a maturing audience. It's also not a conversion sermon. There are some of those that are great, but this is a psalm for someone who has been walking with the Lord for some time, been through some things. So if you are here because it has come, God is working in your life, put on your heart that you need to hear more about becoming a Christian, we want to talk to you about that. It's just not what you're going to hear today. After baptism, after becoming a Christian, then the rest of your walk is sanctification. It's growing closer to God. It's becoming more who God wants you to be. And because we're talking about Psalms, you think of David, a man after God's own heart. And so it's about that. This sermon is not for the church, either our congregation here or the church universal. It's for me and you and you and you. It's for individuals. There's not intercessory prayer today. Not that intercessory prayer is not a great idea, but intercessory prayer is partially having someone pray with you and going, this is about you in the garden talking to God. This is also a hard sermon. I don't think Sargent was mad at me when he assigned it to me. There are a couple of incredible reasons why this is a great psalm for me to talk about. I'll tell you sometime later, not from up here. Y'all remember last week when Sarge had the little kids up and said, how many psalms are there? And Maggie started counting on her hand. Well, okay, that was funny. But this psalm, 32, doesn't make anyone's top five. Most people and Google, when you Google Psalm 32, they say, oh, you typoed, you transposed. You mean the 23rd psalm, don't you? You're like, no. Steve Sandifer did some lessons on death. He did several lessons on death, which were really helpful and really trip me up even now. But it was his series of lessons were on theology, on how we believe about it. This sermon's not about a particular theology. It's about your day-to-day walk, your week-to-week walk with God. And Larry is sitting over there, and he's looked at the psalm that's printed in the order of worship, and he said, oh, no, it's about the chiastic structure that this psalm has. And it does have a chiastic structure, but that's not what it's about. Okay, that was what it is not. What it is it's about our mission statement. And I'm going to read that, and we're going to think about it again. As God has loved us, we will meet people on common ground and journey together to the higher ground of life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This sermon, this psalm, is about to the higher ground of life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Even though it says it's about melting bones and feeling bad, this is a little is not. I'm not saying someone who, like me, has a herniated disc is because you did, I stole a candy bar in the sixth grade. It's not about that. This is more about how our souls, our hearts, our bodies are doing. It's about why we can't sleep at night and why sometimes in the middle of the day we find ourselves crying. It's an explanation for why we feel like we've been out in Houston in July in the sun. It's how to walk the Christian walk, grow closer to God, and become, as James said, through the working of the Lord in our life, more the person after God's own heart. So the writer, David, we hear all the time that he was a man after God's own heart. That's out of Acts 13:22. You know, when you start looking for it in the Old Testament, that's not where it is. As a young man, he spent days and nights in the hills worrying about the wolves. I guess he was worrying about the sheep and he was worrying about the lambs, but concerned that the wolf would come over the hill or the wolves would come over the hill or that the lion would come over the hill. He spent a long time hiding in caves, living rough, running from his father figure, from Saul. Then, late in his life, he spent some time, I'm sure, very tired, very disillusioned, running from Absalom, maybe his favorite son, or certainly one of them. He spent days and nights praying and weeping for an infant son. When he was doing well, when things were going well for him as king, he went out to battle every spring. He got in some trouble, Chelsea. That first spring, he didn't go out. But I can only pretend to know what it was like waiting for it to be light enough that you could see them and you could shoot arrows at them, you could charge them. You know, that's light enough for them to see you and shoot arrows at you and charge you. David, the psalmist, knew long, painful days and endless, aching nights. And here, toward the end of Lent, that's kind of where it's where I need to spend some time. Lent, for many of us, is kind of a relatively new thing. We borrowed it from other denominations. Some of the other denominations have a lot more ritual around it, a lot more experience with it. And there's a lot of practices that denomination to denomination, those of you who know we're non-denominational, just play along with me, that confuse me. And one of the big ones is prayers for the dead. You know, you have someone who is ill. I remember when Camille Daly was ill, and we prayed the Psalms for her. And then Camille died. Well, my love for Camille didn't die. My need to talk to God about Camille didn't die. And maybe that's prayers for the dead. But in the Orthodox denominations, the Russian Orthodox, the Greek Orthodox, the Eastern Orthodox, in their funeral services, and I've been to a couple, there's a phrase, and this phrase tripped me up the first time I heard it. The congregation with the priest prays, disregard her transgressions, both voluntary and involuntary, committed in knowledge and in ignorance. So, transgressions, sins, involuntary and in ignorance. And I thought, how absurd is that? You know, we know what sin is, the big 10, 9 specific areas out of the 10 commandments, we know. Don't go murder somebody. Got it. But it wasn't the fact that I murdered somebody that's making me feel like it's, you know, July in Houston right now. It's not that I'm not a child of God. David knew God loved him. But things go wrong, and all of a sudden I'm crying in the middle of the day and not sleeping at night. I feel like my bones are melting. This is not a literal thing. I've had osteoporosis for 20 years. I wasn't osteopenic. I just skipped right over that. I was probably born osteopenic. I had osteoporosis, and my bones are literally melting or they're not reforming. I can't feel a thing. Now, when I break one of them, I can feel that. But if your bones are physically, literally melting, you don't feel that. You feel this heaviness, this burden, God's hand heavy on you. And the first verse, the little proverb that Steve mentioned, it tells you how you want it to be. And that's because the center of this psalm, okay, you got to just go with me for a little bit. It's David's life hack for what to do when you do this. And so people, I'm guessing, in the 30s, 40s are nodding at me. Caleb's nodding at me. He knows what a life hack is. Some of us hear hack. We think our accounts get hacked. That's a bad thing. A hack, a life hack, is a simple tip for accomplishing some familiar task more easily and efficiently. Hack here is a good thing. Maybe you've seen some pictures. There's a way you're supposed to use the Coke tab on the can to hold your soda straw in there, to hold the straw in there. That's a life hack. It's something that the manufacturer had in mind, like the Gatorade manufacturers that say you can put the cap underneath the Gatorade. Well, this is David's life hack for us. So we want to be blessed, like the one whose transgressions are forgiven, but we're keeping silent, our bones are wasting away, we're moaning and groaning all day long. Day and night, God's hand was heavy on me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave my sin. Okay? And then you get right to God talking to us and the good news. Except it's not quite that easy. So when Korah prayed, forgive us our transgressions, forgive us our trespasses, we literally pray that. God, forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against us. And that's tricky because I don't really want to run out and only get God's forgiveness to the level that I forgive. But we're not saying, forgive me as much as I stole someone's donut, as much as I did this. But that's what this is about. I have to say, I confess, Lord, I have no patience with people who say, help me, fix it, but don't call unless they need something. Lord, I get mad at them. I'm not a cheerful giver, Lord. Or a good example of you. When Damon Easter was in high school, he took geometry. Joseph had taken geometry the year before, and I'd said that I would help them with any questions they had. And that was just a wonderful idea. I never took geometry, and it showed up right away. Joseph let me help him till his grades couldn't stand it anymore, and then Brian helped him, and Brian took geometry. Well, Damon, I was maybe a little bit more able to help him, but Damon, Brian just started out with him. And one of the tasks they had, one of the learning lessons they had, was to make with popsicle sticks a three-dimensional, he made a dodecahedron. It's a 12-sided figure, and you have to glue it up, and it's tricky to hold it on. We all worked on it for several days, quite a bit. And then it was at our house drying it on, and then it was the day to turn it in. And Damon called and said, I forgot my dodecahedron. Here, we've done all this work, and so I go and get it, and I put it in the car, and I am driving over to Jack Yates' house. I'm like, how could he be so foolish? How could he not pay attention to this? Does he just think I'm going to, you know, save him wrong? And then almost in an audible voice, God says, I know. It's just terrible, isn't it, the things that these people expect from us. It's that sort of real, actual connection to your real, actual life that then I acknowledge my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. That's the confessions that we're looking for. So I told you about one of mine, but like I said, we've got the big nine. We're okay on those. The first of the Ten Commandments is, well, maybe we know what the big ten are, God being God. When you're looking for a place to start, let's think about what David did. One, he was attuned enough with his relationship with God. He was working it every day, every hour. And so he recognized his aching head and his aching stomach, his melting bones, as something more than fear of the battle. He recognized that it was some sin in some way separating him from God. He looked deep into his heart, into his soul, into himself, and found pride, hatred, self-importance, pain he had inflicted on someone else, anger, greed, things to boast about, fear, impatience. A good place for me to look for things that separate me from God, my transgressions, my sins, are in 1 Corinthians 13. All that love stuff. You just have to read them as the opposite. You know, love is patient, impatience. Love is kind, meanness. Love does not envy. That's pretty straightforward. Does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Sin and transgression in thought, in word, in deeds, waste away your bones and sap your strength. So Lent is a time to take a moment, to listen to that, to find these one at a time and work them and take them to God. It's a life hack. It's what's going to make this life a bit easier and move me and move you more to being the person after God's own heart that he wants you to be. There's a verse in here for the communion. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance.